God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, I thank you, Lord God, that your entrance of your word brings life.
Yes.
And Father, we just ask you tonight, Lord God, to just open open our understanding and our insight, God, that we would see the greater and a clearer picture of what you are, how you are directing our lives, our personal lives, and how our journey and walking with you, Lord God, is not the same as everyone else's, but Lord, it's what you've purposed. And because it doesn't look like everyone else's, doesn't mean that's not your purpose. So Father, I just ask you to just give us a greater picture of, and give us comfort in knowing that the journey that we are on with you, Lord God, is your will and your purpose, Lord God. Even if it doesn't look like the next person that is sitting next to us, even though it's different, Father, that you would help us to understand and have an even better, clearer picture of your hand upon our lives and how you are steering us on this journey as we walk through it with you. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So, I just want to look at, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Genesis 1. And I'm going to read it through a little quickly, because I'm going to read the whole chapter. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was out form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And he divided the light into the dark from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the mornings were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters and called it and called he seas. And God saw it, and it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth what?
Grass
and herbs and yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. His seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb and yielding seed after his kind, and the trees yielded fruit, and whose seed was itself after his kind, and God saw it that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So now we're at day three. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens, and to divide the day from the night. It sounds like God knows what he's doing, doesn't it?
Yes.
So when he starts to maneuver things in our lives, he knows what he's doing. And he looks at it and he says, even though you don't think it's good, he says, it is good. He knows what he's doing. So I'm giving you some type of imagery of the Creator who is very knowledgeable, who knows what he's doing, who's giving direction to things and causing them to line up and separating, putting things in its place. And when he does that in our lives, we get uncomfortable. We said, you know what? That didn't happen to her like that. Or when I got cancer, I had to go through chemo. She didn't have to go through cancer. That's how God, you know, it's just how God, the way he designs things, because we're all different. But God has a purpose, and he has a plan, and your life is not your own. So if you read down and you find you find more and more that, let's look at the 21st verse. I'm going to jump down. It says, and God created great wells and every living creature that moveth with the waters, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fowls multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were of the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after its kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was
so.
And God made the beasts of the earth, after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was
good.
And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over the creeping things and the creeping and that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay, now if I bake a cake, who does that cake belong to? Me, until I slice it and divvy it out, right? That cake is mine. So now we see that God has made so many things. He's made the earth, he's made the animals, he made the sea, he separated the firmament that was very close, and he said, I'm going to divide this, and I'm going to make the heavens, and then there's going to be some space in between, and I'm going to create the earth. Mm-hmm. Who does all of this belong to now? Who does it belong to?
God.
Okay. Now, when God made man, he said, he turned to the Holy Ghost, and he turned to his Son, and he said, let us make man in our image now, in our own likeness.
Right.
So when he made man, he said he male and female created he them, right? He created them. Mm-hmm. And, well, who do you think they belong to? Okay, that was his. Did he give them to anybody?
No.
So they belong to what?
Him.
That's why I started out and I made you make this statement. And the statement is, God, you know, my life, his life. So your life is not your life. Right. It's whose life?
It's his life.
Yeah. It's his life. So he's going to do with his life what he pleases. We have to remember that. So now we've got a good perspective. We've got a great perspective of the Creator, the one who created us, and the one who has planned our journey. Everybody's journey in here is very different from everybody else's journey. Yeah, I'm a twin, but my journey is still different from my sister's journey.
Amen.
I have a different journey than God. Everybody has their own journey. But yet, once you come to, once you draw the conclusion, and you settle down on that conclusion that my life is not mine anymore, you'll think about things differently. You'll make different decisions because your life is not yours. You know, and so I started thinking about, let's look at Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. You know, God, I read Genesis so that you could see that that the Creator knows what he's doing. Even though it doesn't look like he knows what he's doing, he knows very well what he's doing. In Daniel chapter 6, let's see what verse I want to start at. I was of this persuasion a long time ago And, you know, I never said it. You know, I would think it, you know, and I would remind myself of it many times when I was going to sit different situations. I would remind myself of, you know, we want, when we need, when we have needs in our life or we need a type of deliverance or whatever, we want it to look like a story that we are, testimony that we've already heard. Isn't that true? Don't look at me new. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It was like, we want things to look like a testimony that we heard. And when it doesn't happen like that, we get mad. Oh, don't. Because I know you'd be feeling some type of way when God don't do it the same way he did sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or that family. It's like, wait a minute, but you showed up with this one this way and you didn't show up with me that way. You know, it's like everybody's journey. God knows what he's doing.
Yes.
He knows what he's doing. So when, let's take a look at Daniel. Now, we know the story of Daniel. Daniel was a man who was very, I heard Pastor Larry use this definition, use this word tonight, discipline. Daniel was a man of discipline. The scriptures say that he was a man of excellence. And so because he was a man of excellence, do you know that when they thought about giving somebody a position or a job, Daniel's name came into their mind first. The scripture said they thought of him first because he had a spirit of excellence and because he was disciplined. And because he was disciplined and because he had a spirit of excellence, then he got these first positions. You know, who gets called first? He did. So he got in the position of first. If you read chapter 6, you're going to see that word several times. First. So Daniel was thought of first because he operated in such excellence and because he was disciplined with his decisions. He meant what he said. He said what he meant. He did what he said. Not only was he a decisive man, because, you know, there's many of us that are very undecisive. We don't know what we're going to do from here to next or whatever. I always ask the Holy Ghost, what you want me to wear at school today? What you want me to, and I get to school and I go, I'm glad I listened to the Holy Ghost, because I'm out here and got to do carpool duty and it's porn. Yeah, he can't tell me. I'm used to asking him because he never failed.
Right.
I think it was Hezekiah Walker's song. He said, you know, you never fail, right? You know, I'm so glad that you never fail. He never, and I asked the Holy Spirit, he'll give me direction because he knows everything. Why ask the weatherman? They're always wrong. They're wrong. And they've been wrong a lot lately. Forget my weather bug. I'm going to put my trust in the Holy Ghost. You know? Because they've been wrong a lot. So Daniel was a man of excellence. And you know, sometimes when you're in when I'm around people that do well, I watch closely and I listen very intently. That's how I learn from people that do excellent. And I go, oh, that's how you do it? Okay. Instead of getting jealous.
Right.
Instead of, you know, feeling some type of what she thinks. No, I look and I learn. Oh, that's how you do it. And you know us. Well, I can't say that. We like to do things well. People of God, we have to do things
Amen.
Well. Because we are not, because there that's greater than the people that are looking at you.
Amen.
So we have to do things better. We have to do things better. We got to pray better. That's why we learn the word, so that we can pray effectively.
That's right.
Because as the people of God, you know, I've been in some Catholic churches that I had to sit in. And I listened to them pray over the people. I said, wow, that's pretty in the condition I'm in. Because they don't know any word. We have to do things good. We have to do things well. We should stand head and shoulders. We should stand head and shoulders above the Satan's kingdom. We have to do better. We have to have a mindset where we do things better. We have to. And guess what? We have the Holy Spirit who can tell us just how to do it better. I know there's a better way to do this. And Holy Ghost, I know you can release that wisdom and knowledge under me.
Amen.
Well, you know, Daniel, he prayed to the Lord how many times a day?
Three
times a day. Now, you know, that was better already. Because some of us, we only pray one time a day. I learned to pray all day long.
That's right.
You know, all day long. I'm constantly talking. Well, what is prayer? Talking to God. Even if you say, Jesus, help me. That's prayer. Jesus, Holy Ghost, if you don't step in right now, I need you to come right now. I need you to show up right now. So I'm commissioning the ministering angels to come alongside. To give me some extra help, okay? So Daniel, he's praying three times a day. So we have men that have devised an evil plan, malicious plan, to go to the king. You know the story.
Mm-hmm.
You're Bereans, if you go to the healer's house. You know the story. They devise a plan. And they're trying to get Daniel in trouble with the king. So they said, you know what? Make a decree that anybody that prays, you come on, let's read it. Starting at the, let's start at the 20. Let's start here at the 15th verse. It says, and these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of Medes and Persian is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Like the king didn't know that already. Then the king commanded and brought down, because they made this decree that if anybody prays to any other god besides the god that the king served, that he was going to be punished. They made this decree knowing that Daniel prayed three times a day. They devised this plan, and so they said, so they're bringing the king in remembrance of this decree. Didn't you say that if anybody, you know, prayed or whatever, and you can't change this decree once you said it can't be changed? He goes, yeah, I know it. But the king wasn't aware of Daniel's daily activities. He didn't know that he was praying three times a day. Did Daniel put it in the paper?
No.
Did he put it on his Instagram? I don't think so. Yes, so you know, it wasn't flashing on Front Street, so the king didn't know that he was praying three times a day. But they knew, and they waited until he did it, went and told the king, and he had to be punished. So he brought Daniel before the king. And of course, you know, King Darius, you know, he was grieved that he would even have to do this to Daniel, because Daniel was one of his top men.
Mm-hmm.
He depended on Daniel. He was a man of excellence. So what happens to Daniel? He gets thrown in the lion's den. Now me, just thinking about this story, Even before Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, if I didn't know all of this story, I would be saying, oh, no. Daniel ain't going in the lion's den because God's going to deliver him. He's going to deliver him. He ain't going in there because God is a good God. And he, you know, he watches over his word. Be quoting all this. Lord, you watch over your word to perform. I think you know what to perform to me. He's going to prosper. But guess what? Did Daniel get thrown in the lion's den?
Yes, he did.
He got thrown in the lion's den. Does that look like God? To these eyes, it don't. Because God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
We read Genesis to remind ourselves that we have a creator that knows right well what he's doing.
Right.
So when he starts to make our journey go on the road that looks like it's off the hook. It's really not. That's the way he had you go.
Yes.
He knows what he's doing. So, you know, I lived with a woman that never questioned God. I never heard her, why did you let this happen? No. God knows exactly what he's doing. So that stopped me from saying, why did you let me grow up in a foster home? How come I couldn't have parents that lived together? You know, you when your life doesn't look like everybody else, you start saying, well, why did this happen? Or why did that? Or why did my, you start questioning and you start looking. And I looked at Daniel's story. And I was like, it didn't look like God was with him. At the moment of the initial sentencing, if you will, for a violation of this decree, it didn't look like God was with him because he had to go to jail. He had to go to jail. But guess what? God did not let the lions devour him.
Right.
Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not going to devour you. It's not going to devour you. So what you're going through, you may be on a journey tonight that doesn't look like the person sitting next to you. She didn't have to go through that. She testified last week. God brought her. You know, I remember I was on the school bus, and this girl told me in school that she was going to beat me up. And I was like, yeah, try it. Because I know God's not going to let that girl beat me up. I'm never sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. This girl ain't beat me up. And so I wasn't worried about it. So when she started spreading the news all around the school that she was going to beat me up, I hadn't done anything to her. I hadn't done anything to this girl. And so everybody got on our bus. People were standing up. There was three people to a seat and everything. The bus was crowded. So, you know, my bus stop came up, and I was like, I was looking around, and everybody, you know, all the noise was on the bus. Oh, my gosh. You know. And so I rode up to the bus driver. She knew what was going on. She looked at me and I looked at her and I didn't get off my bus stop. I was rubbing and I was like, Jesus. And so the next bus stop came. I didn't get off that one either. So the next bus stop came and it was right across from Best Temple. I said, well, I could run over there because the door is always open. Because in prayer, we have prayer. I said, I can run across the street and go in the church. So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. So I got off the bus, and the whole bus emptied out. The whole bus emptied out. And I saw the bus driver go, because everybody got off the bus And they crowded around, and I couldn't get across the street to go into the church because the people made a big circle, and I was in the middle, and this girl started punching. I didn't even do nothing. I just let. She knocked me on the ground. She started banging my head, stomping me and everything. And I said, uh-huh. And so my cousin saw, said, what's this crowd? And he came in there. You know, my cousin jumped me like this tall. He came in there and he picked up the girl, got her off me, got me, took me, walked me home. And I told the Lord, I said, don't talk to me. I said, don't talk to me. I was hot. I was so mad. I told God, don't even talk to me. And you know, I came into my adult life. I carried that with me. I carried that issue with me. I said, we got something to talk about. But I want to know why you let that girl beat me up. So I was like, okay. I carried that into my adult life. And I was thinking about Daniel. Because I know Daniel was, I don't think he wasn't expecting to really go in that lion's den. You know what you're... You live with your own flesh, right? Mm-hmm. You know good and well that's not what he was expecting. Mm-hmm. He was not expecting. This man prayed 3 times a day. But the journey that God had for him took him in that lion's den, but it didn't consume him.
Right.
It didn't consume him. You know how you say to your children, when they fall, do we have to call an ambulance? Okay, come here, let me put a band-aid up. There you go. You can be all right. I didn't die that day. I'm still breathing. You all right? You gonna be all right? There's a reason. You know, he let me see all my enemies. There were people that hated us for no reason. I'm serious. Hated us for no reason. And would pick on us and would beat us up all the time. Is this not true, Lisa? But all of them are 6 feet under. And they never made it past, what, 230? They're all of them. They're all of them. My foster mother had to pull up the window and throw water out just to keep them from coming up the fire escape into my house to get us. I'm serious. I am serious. And you think I'm a little squirt now? I was really a little squirt. So you know, I didn't have no muscles or nothing. You know, I have nothing. So I'm looking at Daniel, and I'm like, God, you allowed Daniel to go into the lion's den. But it didn't consume him, and he brought him out.
Right. Amen.
And he brought him out, and he had a greater position than he had before he went in.
Yes.
And the people that was going after him and devised that decree, they got thrown into the same lion's den, and they were what? Devoured. That's what God will do for the enemies, for your enemies. He said, and he said it in Proverbs. He said, the hole that they dig for you, they'll fall. So our journey is not always going to look like a flowery bed of ease.
Yes.
But we have to trust the one who gave us the journey.
Amen.
You've got to trust the one who gave you the journey. He said, I will never what?
Leave.
I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it appears to be. I'm telling you, if you trust the Creator, the one who created the path that your journey is on, if you trust Him, I promise you, you won't be disappointed.
Hallelujah.
You won't be disappointed. It's not going to look like, because we serve God, He said that you're going to have what?
Tribulations.
Didn't he say that?
Yes.
He said, you're going to tribulate, Mama stuff. You're going to tribulate.
Yes,
but guess what? I'm with you.
Right. Amen.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
John 9. Everybody say, my life.
My life.
His life.
His life.
Your life is not your own.
It's
not your own. The most important thing, the thing that makes the journey glorious, this is what makes the journey glorious. Obedience.
That's right.
He said, obedience makes the journey glorious. Even when it doesn't look like God is with you. I don't care what it looks like or what it appears to be. I remember there was a time where, you know, I was a woman of faith. I trusted God. I believed God. And I found myself packing my house up because it was in foreclosure. And I said, you know, this not even, you know how the Bible says these things are not all to be named once a month. I'm like, God, you know, what does this look like? You know, what is this going to look like to the, you know, I said, I was like, this is crazy. I was like, I couldn't understand what was going on. And it was like, maybe for about 2 weeks, I didn't pray. I just kept asking God, what in the world is going on? This is not supposed to happen. This is not supposed to be happening. I was packing my house up. My house was in foreclosure. I had 3 kids. I hadn't worked. I was homeschooling. Where was I going to go? I was, what is going on? I was teaching piano students, so I had some funds, a significant amount of funds in my account because I was paying, I did piano lessons to pay for my children's tuition at college. I had a son that was already a freshman in college that had come home for the summer and was going back to be a sophomore, and had my younger son who was going to be a freshman. So all of this started to happen. And I was asking God for 2 weeks, what is going on? What happened here? And I had called my piano students to tell them not to come to the house because my house was all packed up. And one of my piano students' father called me. He said, Leticia, what's going on? And I told him what was going on, and he said, have your husband give me a call. I said, well, okay, I'll do that. I'll call him, and I told Frederick to call him. And this man, within, before the month was out, because it was in the middle of the month, before the month was out, had sold my home for more than what it was worth. We gave the money that we owed to the bank. Because our house was sold, so we still can't stay there because they sold it. And there was $23,000 left over. That he said, I don't feel comfortable keeping this because the money from your house, here. Here's $23,000 for you. So it's like, things don't look like God is working.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. But he is. He's on that journey. He said he will what? Never leave you nor forsake you. You know, even in the rough times, even when times where maybe we've made wrong decisions or bad decisions, he still doesn't leave us. Who wouldn't serve a God like that?
Amen.
Even when we make bad decisions, he still will not leave you.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we can make some bad decisions and we'll have some friends like, girl, bye. Girl, bye. They will leave you. We have friends like, you stupid, you dumb. by you, but God will.
Amen.
He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So now we're looking at, I know you're at John, right? John chapter 9. Everybody's there except for me. Let's look at verse 3. Somebody want to read that for me? Thank you. Oh, thanks.
Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
Go back to verse 1. Read it from verse 1.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
Sometimes it's not a mistake that you made. Sometimes it's not your fault. It's just the journey that God's going to take you on for him to be glorified.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Got it. Sometimes it's not what you did. He said, this is a journey. Like Jesus told his disciples, we must needs go through Samaria. You know, he said, we must needs go. And they were looking at him like he had 17 heads. Like, do you know? We got a world. What? Can't we go up the other side of the back side of the desert and go, why do we got to go through Samaria? He said, we must needs go through Samaria. Sometimes God sees, you know, when he's shaping us and when he's making us, because Lord, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I've got, and everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see if I can be completely yours. And, you know, and God will say, yeah, we're going to take that. Trust the one who's making the journey.
Yes.
Daniel did. I believe that had Daniel not trusted, he was in there. When he was in there, he said, you know what? I might as well just make this my new prayer closet.
Amen.
they just moved my prayer closet from here to there. That's how he looked at it. That's how he looked at it. He said, they just moved my prayer closet from one place to the next, to another. That's how he saw it. They just moved my prayer closet from there to there. I'm still going to pray. He was still praying his 3 times a day while he was in there. The Bible said he was in there, he was praying. And that's what the mind was doing, sleeping. Putting him to sleep. And when they threw their enemies in there, the Bible says, I always wanted to do that. But he said, when the man's ways please the Lord. Born in Newburgh, New York, and being raised at 188 Chamber Street, you know, Newburgh, New York, 12550. Somebody put out there, do you know your childhood phone number? I said, yup, 84-904-561-8596. I was like, yup. So, you know, God knows the journey. He created the journey. All you have to do is submit to the process. Everybody say, submit to the process.
Submit to the process.
You get in trouble when you don't submit to the process. Because that's the part we don't want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're baking bread, it has to be kneaded and everything, and then it has to be set, and you put a wet towel over that bowl. Mm-hmm. And let it sit off to the side so it can rise. That's called the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't skip that process or you won't have no bread. I'm going to tell you that right now. We will not be eating. If you skip that process, you won't have any bread. You have to submit to the process. And that's the part we don't want to do. Our flesh, we don't want to go through the process. We want God to come down and just, Lord, like, look, sit far from heaven and just burn them up. We don't want to be dealing with all of that. We don't be dealing with all that. Just burn all that up, you know. We don't want to submit to the process. God said, no, you're going to go through the process. You're going to go through so that fire can burn off all those edges. All those sharp edges you got, and all that dross that's on the front of you and the back of you, and that's why nobody can't. Your cisterns are bitter. No, you're going to go through the process so that your words can be sweet.
Amen.
So we've got to submit to the process so that our journey can be glorious. That's the only way our journey can be glorious. Some people write the book before they even process. Don't write the book yet.
Hello.
Don't write it yet. You got a ways to go. Hold up, hold up, hold up. Your waters are still bitter. Your waters are still bitter. Wait a minute, you got another avenue to go down. I see about there's a fork in the road. And see, if we don't submit, you know, is God on the journey? Yes, he's on the journey. Is he making the journey? Yes, he's making the journey, but you got to submit. Sometimes you want to do your own journey. You know what? I don't like the way you have to go. I'm going over here. And you get over there, and then you get stuck.
Yeah.
And then you realize that this is not what God intended. And you have to turn around and go right back through the journey that he had for you. I'm not saying that we're not going to make mistakes while we're on this journey. I'm not going to say that we're going to be perfect while we're on this journey, but we have the perfecter. That's on the journey with us. We have the one that, and he says that if you sin, you have an advocate.
That's right.
Didn't he say that? He said, if you mess up, I'm going to cover you. But you still got to be submitted to be covered. Because you can't keep doing that over and over again and expecting that journey to still turn out the way God wanted it to be. It can't. You've got to submit to the journey. And remember that it's you, not your life. It's not your life. So now there's nothing to question because it's not yours anyway. It's not yours. He gave it to you. He breathed breath into me. And then he said, today, I set before you life and death. You still have to choose the journey that he's going to take you. You still have to choose it every day. God, I'm going to stay on the journey that you have me on, because guess what? At the end of the day, it's going to be glorious. If I jump off, it's not going to be glorious. Things will not be good. And you'll be sitting in the church wondering why everybody is profiting and everybody is being blessed and you're not. You're like, well, how come these things aren't happening? How come God's word isn't doing this in my life? Well, you've got to look, have you been submitted to the journey?
Yeah.
Have you been submitted to the process? So this is a whole new perspective to help you to help your journey to be much smoother. And for you to just rest.
Yeah.
Because if it's his, then he's got you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to leave you. He is not going to let you fall on your face.
Oh.
You know, you're going to be, could you stand up for a minute? So he's going to be right here, and you can go, nah, 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 nah. Do it again. Go ahead. Because he's got you. He's got you covered. He's got you covered all the way. He will not let your ship sink. He's not going to let it take on water and just go under with bubbles. It's not going down like that. That's not, because God is a what? Good God. Isn't he a good God? He's a good God. And we've got to trust him with our life, because it's not ours.
Yes.
Every day that you give it back to him,
he's
going to give you some good in return.
Because
that's all he has. All God has for you is good. Everything he has for you is good.
Yes.
He said, no good thing will I withhold from those who walk upright. No good thing will I withhold from those who walk uprightly. None. You know, every place, you know, I just came back from vacation, and I was telling my sister, I said, my mind, and I was out in Aspen, Colorado, frolicking with all the Aspen socialites, you know, we were around some real lovely people. All these people have money. I was like, oh my goodness. And I told my sister, I said, my mind went all the way back to Concordia College. Only two black girls on the whole campus. Can you flip two little? And in having, I didn't even want to go to college. I wanted to go to Bible school. And I had applied to Bible school, got in, got my place to live and everything. I said, I'm going to find out what God has for me. I know God has a call on my life, and I'm going to pursue it. My foster mother said, no, you're not. She said, you're going to get you some education. And after you finish your education, you can pick any Bible school you want. That's what she told me. And I cried. Oh, I had plane tickets to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I had called the lady who was housing all of the Rhema students. I had a spot. I had a place in the house. I had my spot. I worked all summer long to buy my tickets, to secure my room in the because at that time Rhema didn't have any dormitories. So there was houses. They have places for the students now, but they didn't have any place. I was very upset. And this is how it happened. When at my graduation, one of my friends stood right there in front of my foster mother and said, "Congratulations on Rhema!" You know, and I was looking at Jeff going. And my foster mother looked at me, she said, Rhema, what's that? That didn't sound like the teacher. That don't sound like a college. Oh, Lord. And so when I said, That my graduation day was over. We got home. Oh my goodness! She went up one side of me and down the other. And I said, "Fine." After all of that fussing and everything and yelling at me, I said, "Fine. You gonna make me go to college? Fine. I'm gonna do what I'm gonna study what I like to study, music. You not gonna make no money in no music. They study no music. You need to be a nurse." I was like, "I got white folks in Vermont." So I get down, I'm late starting college because I hadn't applied. So I call, I said, "Okay, I'm gonna find a school, you know, whatever that's about. Ain't no school gonna take me. I got an 850 on my SATs, ain't nobody gonna take me." SATs. And she said, "There's a college out there that'll take you."
I tried to make everything.
And let me tell you, there was one that'll take me. He came to that. The man came from the Columbia College all the way to my house and was sitting on and standing on the couch and said, "Miss Johnson, we're going to get her in. I know we're going to be a little late, but we're going to get her in." So I went down there for my audition. They played a piece by Bach. I played it back. They said, "Oh yeah, we're gonna give you a music scholarship." Mm-hmm. I said, "Okay." I get in there. I get down there. Long and short of it, I went to a BYOB party. Bring your own Bible party. Bring your own Bible party. No, not for y'all, no. Bring your own Bible. And it was at a Bible study and had free peace and all that stuff. And this girl was there. She was the loudest one. I said, "Oh, yeah, I want her to be my roommate." She had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost in the Shabbat tent 3 weeks ago. Mm. 3 weeks before this party. And she was telling them about it. And they were like, "What?" You know. And her name was Susan Melville. She came to be my roommate. She pulled out these tapes. Guess where they were from? God brought Bible school to
you.
How about that? You talk about free journey? You gotta trust God. I had to obey. What did I say? That one of the things that I make is just obedience. I had to obey my foster mother. I mean, I thought the woman was crazy. You raise this up in the admonition of the Lord. Now you don't want me to go to Bible study? I mean, Bible school? You don't want me to go to Bible school? I was like, what the? No, God knows what he's doing. God knows exactly what he didn't want me to go to Rhema. He said, "I'm going to bring Rhema to you. I got another way I want you to go." So this girl who became my roommate, her parents own Mount Chalet Ski Lodge in Aspen, Colorado. Wow. Millionaires. They shop at Walmart. They don't look like they're frumpy. They don't look money. They don't look like they got any money, but let me tell you. They're buying up all kind of real estate around Aspen. They're buying houses, and they just bought a brand new lodge 2 hours from the one that they already have. They wouldn't let us drop a dime on nothing. And asking us when we coming back. Like, usually when you got to spend money on people, like, "Oh, I'm glad they doing it." No. But anyway, so I'm thinking about, my mind went all the way back. Mm-hmm. All the way back to where the journey started.
Yeah.
Because I was religious. Before I went to Concordia College. Yeah, I got saved when I was 13. I was at church every time the doors opened up. I had a relationship with the church. I didn't have a relationship with God. I ushered. I was trained. I was obedient. I sang on the choir. I played the piano. All that stuff. Did I love God? Yes. I love God. There's a lot of people that go to church that love God but don't have a relationship with him. So I'm here in at Concordia College, no car. I didn't learn how to drive. So on the weekends, everybody went, because these were people that, you know, these people, you stick your nose out the window, in Bronxville, all you can smell is money.
Yeah.
I babysat for people that, I babysat for my job, you know, my job, I would babysit for people that had pools inside their houses.
Wow.
So the kids would get up from the table, go and open the door, shut the glass door, and jump in the pool, and then bring in all that water back. I said, your parents are going to kill me. Stop running back, you know. Before. And they would take a limousine down to New York City, watch a Broadway show, come back, and be drunk and empty their pockets and give to me. And then the next time I come back, the babysitter goes, did we pay you the last time? I said, oh, boy, did you pay me? And taught me, I learned so much. I never was in a place where we would be in our dorm room, made a pallet on the floor because I couldn't drive to a church, didn't have nowhere, had to make a pallet on the floor and the presence of God would show up. We wouldn't leave the spot. Susan and I wouldn't leave the room for 3 days. We wouldn't eat. We wouldn't go. We couldn't. That's how thick the presence of God was in that place. So God was, he had a way that he had a journey. This is the journey he wanted to take me. This was the purpose he had for me. We didn't hardly have anything. Lisa was sending me money. But let me tell you, it was the journey that God had me on.
Amen.
It was the purpose of. I get out to Aspen, Colorado, 2 weeks ago, and I'm in the jail, the Pitkin County Jail, leading a Bible study in Aspen, Colorado.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. Oh my goodness, this is, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is something. I'm in Aspen, Colorado, preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And the people want me to come back.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Like, yeah, this is something. That's why I said you can't look at what you have now or what you're going through now and say, God, you know, what's going on? Why did you allow these things to happen? God knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing. You have to submit to the process. Submit to the process. God, I don't understand, but I trust you.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on, but I trust you.
Yes.
Sometimes it seems like he'll be silent and he won't answer your specific questions. Just trust him. Just obey. Just to be obedient.
Yes.
I didn't want to go to Concordia College. I didn't want to go to any college. Just imagine how, if had I disobeyed and went my way, instead of the way God had purpose and designed for me, could you just, I couldn't even imagine where I'd be today. I couldn't imagine. I most certainly wouldn't be a music teacher at Calvert School today, I tell you that, had I went to Rhema. Because he allowed me to develop the giftings that he put in me.
Yeah.
I didn't say calling, I said giftings. Because that's different. That's different. Anybody in here want to know what God called them to do or be? Raise your hand if you want to know what your calling is.
Oh.
You want to know what God called you to? You want to know what your calling is?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you tonight. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you tonight what your calling is.
Raise your hand.
You want to know what your calling is? You're called to you are called to holiness.
Amen.
That's your calling. Now, that's not a joke. That's your calling. Your calling is holiness.
Yes.
Once you pursue holiness, your office or whatever you have will be revealed to you. Once you pursue holiness, because that's your calling. God called us to be holy. He said, I'm calling you to holiness. I'm calling you to holiness. That's your call. If you was ever confused, I don't know what God's calling you to be. He called you to be holy. He called you to be holy. That's your calling. Now your office, your ministry, or whatever, all of that will be opened up to you after you pursue holiness. Once you pursue holiness, it opens right up. I'm telling you, that's what... Look at David. David was out worshiping God. I was talking to my sister the other day. I think it was yesterday. I said, Lisa. I was talking to her. I said, now, remember I said the woman that Jesus came right from the temple. He said, my father... he was talking to the woman at the well. He said, my father seeketh those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, he just came from the temple. Well, I guess there were no worshipers. There were no worshipers at the temple. He said, because my father, he's looking for those that would worship him. And worship him. Because see, the people in the temple, they had a relationship with the temple. They said, I got my brownie point, check. I went to temple today, check. Like, that's what makes them a Christian. Doing Jesus stuff. Well, guess what Jesus says about doing Jesus stuff. He said, in that day, you're going to say that I did this Jesus stuff, and I did that Jesus stuff, and I did that Jesus stuff, and I did that Jesus stuff. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, work hard for me. I don't know you. Yeah. What all that Jesus
stuff? Well, Jesus don't know you. I said, this Jesus don't know you.
See? So... we have to stay submitted to the process.
Amen.
And realize that our life is not our own. Amen. So stop making your own decisions.
Amen.
Because your life is not your own. So stop making your own decisions. Because God's got a purpose.
Amen.
He's got a plan. And it's not going to look like everybody else's. Your journey is unique. Everybody has their own journey. I shared a womb with somebody in here, and my journey is still different from her. Everybody's journey is different. And you got to pay attention to what's on your journey and not somebody else's journey. And don't bring somebody else's journey in God's face when it doesn't look like what yours, you know, what you think it should look like. I'm sure, you know, just going back to Daniel, you know, I wasn't expecting him to be thrown. I mean, when I first was reading about this, about the story of Daniel, I hadn't even gotten to the part where, you know, I hadn't gotten to the end of the story, and I just knew that he wasn't going to be thrown in the water. You know, he prayed three times a day. He had a spirit of excellence. There's no way God's going to allow him to be thrown into no lion's den. Look at Joseph. Joseph, God allowed him to be a slave. I mean, they took paint and marked all over that boy's face. They dressed him like, put that way. I mean, nothing. He didn't even look like the people of his culture anymore. That's the journey God took him on. Was it God's purpose? What is his plan?
Yes.
Did it look like it? No. Didn't look like it? Didn't smell like it? None of it. He was in a prison. But guess what? Wherever he was, he submitted to the process. I mean, that was the best prison they had. It didn't look like that before he showed up. They had garden down there and they had all that. I mean, he was doing so many things. His name, people were like, "Boy, this boy, where y'all get this boy from?" He was submitted to the process.
Yeah.
Did he get weary?
Yes.
I get weary too. Somebody throw me in jail for nothing, and I'm down there, and they throw me in the racks and stuff. Yeah. We're still in the flesh. We're still in the flesh. But we got to stay submitted because God knows what he's doing. Look at, you saw the outcome of Joseph.
Yeah.
He became the governor. A prince. He, oh my goodness. Look what God did with him because he submitted to the process. It didn't look like his journey was going to end up like that. But guess what? He just stayed submitted and faithful to the Lord. And I can go through a whole bunch of other stories just like that to show you that your life is not your own. And so you can't make your own decisions. Guess who makes those decisions? Because he has the rudder to the ship. Now, once you take the rudder back and you start steering your own ship and you get shipwrecked, and you're going to get in God's face. Why are you allowed to happen? You did that. Why did God allow that to happen to me? No, God didn't allow that to happen. You allowed it to happen to you. You allowed it to happen to you because you made your own, you took the rudder of the ship. So tonight, if you are there areas in your life where you know you are holding on to the rudder, just hand it back to him.
Amen.
And say, God, I trust you. I trust you. You know, I've been looking over my life, and Lord, it just doesn't look like that you've been there. It doesn't look like anybody else's journey. It just doesn't look like, God, that you're there. This doesn't look like a God journey to me. It just looks in shambles. It looks like it's in pieces. Remember Joseph. Remember Daniel. And trust God. Trust God, because it's not your life.
Amen.
It's his life.
Amen.
Because when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, you gave it back to him. You gave your life back to him. You can't forget that. You've got to live your life with that perspective that my life is not my own. It's been bought with the Savior's price. By the precious blood he shed on the cross alone. I will praise him all the day for my sins. He washed them all away, and that is why I love him so.
Amen.
Amen.
Because sometimes when you're going through things, it doesn't seem like, oh God, you know, the last couple of weeks I've been saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, well, I'll give up everything. I'll lay all this down. If this is not what you want me to do, I just want your will to be done. I don't care. Whatever road that I'm going down, I'll turn around. I'll make an about face and turn around. It doesn't matter. Lord, I just want your kingdom come and your will to be done in my life and in my heart. I don't even know. You know how you've been down the road and you don't even know how, which way to turn, but you know you got to turn around because you know that it's not the right way. You know, it's like, I'm not going in the right direction, but I know I got to turn around. Well, when you submit, then God will show you that submission is where his wisdom is, where revelation enters in. That process of submission helps us to hear from God, to know where to go. Amen? That's where it does. That's where you hear God. That's where you know when you submit to the process.
Then you can hear God say, you know, he can give you the answer and say, yeah, go right, go left. You know, but since you're submitted, then you have the answer, amen?
Yeah.
I know tonight that while the word of God was going forth, that you heard that the Lord was speaking to you personally. I know he spoke to me. I got some stuff. I got a couple of things. He, you know, I got comfort, and I got some understanding about a situation I'm dealing with right now. I am, and I know you did too. So why don't you just commit that, what God gave you, to prayer. Just bring that before him, you know, the rest of this time. Until next week, just don't wrestle with it. Just set it before the Lord and say, God, thank you for revealing to me. Thank you for showing me. This is what you do. Take the word home, put it in your pocket, take it home. When you get home, take it out, put it on the table, and, you know, stretch it out and see what you got, right? And what God wants to do with what he's done in your life and in your heart. Father, we just thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord God, for the seed of the word of God, and that it goes down deep and it stretches out wide,
yes,
in our lives. Lord God, forgive us for time after time after time that we have decided or even thought that our life was our own.
Yes.
And we can do whatever we want to do. Lord, forgive us for having the wrong mindset, Lord God, and for having a mind block to even understand that our life doesn't belong to us. But Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that we just take it. We take the rudder and we put it back in your hand.
Yeah.
We say, God, nope, my life does not belong to me. Our lives are not our own, but if they belong to you, our lives belong to you, God. My life belongs to you, Father. You say it. Say it right now. Say, Lord, my life belongs to you. Let him know. God, my life belongs to you. Take and do whatever it is that you desire to do, God. In the name of Jesus, you do it, God. I surrender to the process. And I know that you won't allow that process to destroy me. The process will not destroy me, God, and I trust you. I trust you, Lord. It will not destroy me. I will not be ashamed or disappointed. Father, I thank you. Even as I trust in you, I will not be ashamed or disappointed. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. I thank you, God. I just pray your grace on the lives of all of those who receive the word. God, everyone, Father, under the sound of our voice, we thank you, Father, that, Lord God, that your grace, God, is just resting on that decision, the submission, Lord God, that we commit to, even this hour, God. Even in this hour, God, we seal it tonight, God. We thank you, Father. We just seal it with our faith, God. Just trusting and believing in you, Father. We just thank you, God, that it is so. We thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We just bless you, Father. Thank you, God. Love the word of God.